we're going to get into our study tonight as we are finishing up our study on faith or filters. And now we got a little bit of a late start, so I don't know exactly where we will finish up. I had originally thought, well, we may finish a little bit earlier than normal, but getting the late start, we may not. So we'll just see what happens here. But this is our fifth week of this study, and I hope you've enjoyed this study as we have just looked at. And some of the concepts that we have looked at is we just started talking about filters and how filters can hide the truth oftentimes. And filters allow you to see only what another entity wants you to see rather than the truth. And so we started off talking that about filters. And then we talked about the fact that we don't want to live our lives seeing through filters. We want to live our life through the truth of God's word. And so we want to remove all the filters, and we want to see our life, and we want to see the world, and we want to see everything around us through the understanding of God's word. And so we went into the book of Colossians, and that's where we've been studying. And we talked a little bit about Hezekiah in there, and we went a lot of places. But when we came into the book of Colossians, we discovered that in the first chapter of Colossians, we found out that Paul there is writing, and he is basically giving a foundation in chapter 1 for where faith will reside, so that people of faith will live their life by faith. And he lays that foundation in chapter number 1. And then we picked up and we began to find that the reasons that we could have faith in Christ, the reasons that we could stay in Him and walk in Him. And then we began to talk about the filters of this world. And last week, we covered three filters, and I'm just going to recap these real quickly for you, and then we're moving on because we don't want to get bogged down here. But I don't want you to miss that portion of the study that last week would have covered that you missed if you weren't in-house. And the three aspects, the three filters that Colossians talks to us about, and I'm sorry for this weird-looking light that keeps getting on my face here. Not much I can do about that either at this point. But the three filters that we began to look at that Colossians teaches us about, we found in Colossians 2 verses 7 through 10, we found the filter of philosophy, that it was a secular filter that we, if we're not careful, we will begin seeing our life through and living our life through. And that deals with the soulish realm, our emotions and our thought process and all of these type of things, that humanistic mindset that tries to get us to live with that mindset rather than the mindset of faith. And so many people buy in to the philosophy of man, the philosophy of the world. And so in verses 7 through 10 of Colossians chapter 2, Paul teaches us and speaks to us about that we should not be deceived, that it's not about philosophy, but it is only about Christ, that we should not be deceived with persuasive words of men, because the ideas of men is what brings problems into our world. We are to be people that live by faith, not by the filter of humanistic philosophy. The second filter that then we looked at is in Colossians 2, and it's in verses 11 through 23. And it was the filter of legalism. And now, so we get the gamut. We see the philosophy filter, which is man's way of thinking without God and man's way of trying to understand everything about this world. And then the second filter we see is the filter of legalism, and that's more of a religious filter, and it deals with the spiritual side of man, where philosophy, the filter of human mindset and humanistic mindset deals with the soul of man. The legalistic religious filter would deal more with the spirit of man. I don't have time to get back into everything we did last week. This is just a very quick recap. But he tells us to be careful about legalism, that our walk with Christ is not about just our religious ritual or our religious activities, but it is about faith. In verse 16 of chapter 2 of Colossians, he says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These were shadows of things to come, but the substance of those things is and was Christ. Okay, let no one cheat you out of your reward. So in other words, he's dealing there in those verses that we are not to see our life and live our life through a religious filter. It's not about the activity, the religious actions that we take. It is about faith in Christ. And so that's where we left off last week. And so we're going to jump in, and we hit the third filter, and we're going to recap a little bit there this week as we begin now to talk about the faith life and the life of faith. But the third filter that if we're not careful, we will get caught up in is the carnal filter, the flesh filter, and that deals with our body. So these three filters are combating against our faith life. So you've got philosophy, the ideas of man without God, the humanistic mindset that tries to tell us this is what we should think and this is how we should live and this is what we should do. You've got the religious filter that will fight against faith that tries to tell us that rather than faith in Christ, our stance with God is determined by how religious we can be. And then the third filter is the carnal filter, the flesh filter. And now, we're pretty familiar with that. We're going to get back into that because that deals with these outward bodies. And if we're not careful, we will live our life through one of those filters rather than by faith, completely based and founded in Jesus Christ. So, let's get into this. Colossians 3, verse number 1. And here is where we're going to go. It says, in verse number 1, Colossians 3, if then you were raised with Christ. Okay, if you're raised with Christ, if you're a believer and now you have been raised to life through Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Very, very important. Not on things on the earth. For you died, verse 3 says, when you came to Christ, then you died to these other filters, to your flesh. You died to the ways of the world. You died to just religious activity. You died to the old man and you came alive in the new man. And your life now is hidden. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Okay? So this is the essence now of who we are as a believer. So what we're going to talk about tonight is the life of faith. Okay, we're going to hit this carnal filter again, the flesh filter again, in just a moment. But right now I want to focus on the life of faith. Remember, chapter 1, Paul builds the foundation. Why we can trust Christ. How he is preeminent. How everything exists through him now in the life of the believer. Okay, but this chapter 3 verses 1 through 4, some of my favorite verses in the Bible because they are so powerful. But it says, if we were raised with Christ, seek what is above. Now I'm going to do something right quick. I'm going to go over to the New Living Translation and read this. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Don't focus on the earth. Don't let earth become our goal. Set our sights on eternity, where Christ sits in the place of honor. I mean, if you live your life through the filter of this world does not honor Christ. Your flesh does not honor Christ. Even religious activity that gives word acknowledgement to Christ does not honor him by putting faith in him. The idea of religion is all about what we can do to be better people. But in the heavenly realm, Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Matthew, he says, seek ye first. Matthew 6 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. Now, he said in verse 3 here, Colossians Colossians 3:3, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. Now, this is the key to Christian living and life by faith. Set your eyes, your sight, your vision, your life above on Christ. How important is it right now in 2020, in this odd time that we are living in, that our focus, our vision, our sight is set upon Christ? Because if we set our eyes on the world is in chaos. Our country is in chaos. Our lives at times can feel like chaos. But Christ is seated in the place of honor in the heavenly realm. And that is where our life is hidden. That is where our life and the foundation of our life is found. And so keep your focus there. Okay? Now, so then he goes into this flesh filter that we must avoid. And I want to hit this a little bit more tonight. In verse 5, in the New Living, I'll just read it in the New Living. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Put to death. Put to death your members, the New King James says, which are on earth. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Hear that wording in the New Living Translation. There's things that are lurking within our flesh. There's no better way to translate that than that wording, because that is exactly how it is. We are spiritual beings alive in Christ with this flesh nature, and there are things lurking in this flesh nature that must be dealt with. So let's hear that. Now listen to this next phrase in verse 5. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. Wow. Because of these sins, notice what he says. See the flesh filter that tries to cause our life to live through that filter rather than the truth of God's word. These things are against the truth of God's word. Look at sexual immorality. Let me just share with you quickly a real quick word study, because I think this is important, because I think if we're not careful, we live in a world today that there is deception that is trying to creep in to the church world. There is deception trying to creep into the leader, into believers. You've got so-called Christian leaders that are trying to bring the deception of the world into the church by manipulating the word. And so we need to be very understanding of that. So we need to not be deceived by the world's opinions or by a religious apostate opinion to make our corrupt culture somehow fit into the world. In Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up, and in verse 40, he says, save yourself from this untoward, this corrupt, this twisted generation. And we're living in a time like that now. And so the scripture becomes very clear. He says, put to death these members that are on the earth. Fornication, that's where sexual immorality comes from. It's what the word literally means. And we live in a very sexualized society right now. And all types. And when you look up the word fornication, the word is porneia. And yeah, it is exactly the root word for what you think it is. The word pornography is going to come from that. And when you see other translations in the Greek, there is pornuo. There is talking about the person, pornuo, that commits these acts. There is porne, which it references a harlot or someone that's selling their body for sexual use. And these are all terms. But the word fornication is the word porneia. Here's what it means. Illicit sexual acts. So sexual acts outside of the understanding of God's plan, which is marriage, which is a man and a woman coming together in marriage. And then outside of that is sexual immorality, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality. All these words are what that word incorporates, sexual immorality, that word of fornication. That's the biblical word that is used. That is the Greek definition of the word. So people are trying to redefine biblical terms, but this is exactly what he meant to say. And he said, put to death these things. Have nothing to do with these things because they will destroy you. They will destroy life. And we have seen that throughout the world. Because of sexual immorality, we have sex trafficking. Because of sexual immorality, we have family units that continually fall apart. We have children that are raised in confusion and misunderstanding what God's plans are. We have people that are deceived and feel like any type of deception should be justified because it is what they desire. But our desires are to not be seen through the filters of our flesh. Our desires are to be brought unto the truth of God's word. And I know that that's pretty difficult to say in the days we are living in, but it is the word and it is the truth of God's word. And anything outside of that must be stayed away from. That's that. I read you the scripture there. So your issue, if you have an issue with that, is not with me. Your issue with that is the word of God. And you cannot try to make your filter. You can't make the Word of God try to fit through your filter. You have to hear the Word of God, see the Word of God for what He's saying. And it's not only there in the book of Colossians, because I've heard many people say, well, the Scripture doesn't really talk about this issue or that. Yes, it does, all throughout Scripture. Colossians talks about it. Galatians talked about it. Romans chapter 1 talks about it. 1 Corinthians chapters 5 and 6 talk about the sexual immorality, and that carries with it the meaning of anything sexual outside of the realm of God's plan of marriage between that man and woman. The man would leave his mother and father and cling unto his wife, and they would become one. And that union is what that sexual activity is all about, not just for procreation, but because it is a coming together, and it is a living together, a uniting together. It is a time of love and a time of enjoyment of one another that God has intended. And anything outside of that is a filter and not faith in God's word and must be put away. And then he says uncleanness and passion, evil desires, covetousness. I'm back in the New King James, which is idolatry. Okay? That these things are the things that we are to have nothing to do with. And that means what we see, what we hear, and what we engage in. We need to guard ourselves because these filters will try to sneak in. These filters will try to captivate our vision rather than setting our sight on Jesus and on the faith and the truth that is in the Word. He goes on in verse 7, and I'll read back in the New Living. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of these things. And then he lists some more: anger, rage, maliciousness, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language, filthy language, blasphemy. Get rid of those things. You used to do these things. Now, here's the reality. Because we live in flesh, we struggle with these things. That filter is a constant struggle, and we have to continue to refocus our lives on Christ and on the Word of God. Living in truth, living in faith, putting our faith, setting our eyes upon Christ who is above, and not living through the filter of a carnal nature. There's something we have to do with this, and we're going to get into that in just a moment, but you need to hear it first. So the outbursts of anger, we have to put off those things. We'll talk about that. We have to do away, not settle for those things. We have to bring that to Christ and say, Christ, I'm looking to you, not to my flesh, not to my carnal nature. I will not live my life through this filter. Okay? He says in verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. And then he talks about putting on the new man. Now, I'm gonna talk to you here real quickly about a couple of things in this that I want to bring out about spiritual life, because this first section we're looking at is about spiritual life. So we're talking about faith or filters, the filters of philosophy of man, the filters of legalism of religion, the filters of the carnal nature of the flesh, or faith in Christ, which is truth, looking unto Jesus. Okay, so now let's deal with our spiritual life. So what Scripture tells us is, it tells us here's what we do with our spiritual life. Here's what we have to do in our spiritual living to live by faith and not filters. We put to death, we have nothing to do with the wicked works of the carnal nature. That's what I read to you. We put that aside. Then we put off the old man. So you put to death the carnal nature. You put it before Christ. You let it die in Christ so you can live in the Spirit and you can live in Christ. And then you choose to put off the old man. You used to do these things, but now you make a choice to put that off. So when anger rises, you have to choose faith in Christ over anger and retribution. Okay? When issues rise up from that old lifestyle, when wrath rises up, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, filthy talking. You used to do that. You shouldn't still be doing that. So you got to make a choice. I'm going to live my life by faith in Christ, looking to Jesus. He's the author and finisher. And I'm going to put off these things. I'm not going to settle for them. I'm not going to say, well, it's not a big deal, or it's just okay, or it's just who I am. I'm not going to settle for that. I'm going to put that off. So every time it tries to raise up, I'm going to put it off and I'm going to look to Jesus. He paid the price. He finished the work. He redeemed my soul. Now I am in Him. I live by faith in Him. I'm going to now walk by faith in Him. So you put to death the old man, the carnal nature, and you only do that by Christ and what He accomplished. So you submit your life to Christ. That puts to death the old. So you no longer live in that. And then you take these things that come from your flesh nature and you put them off as you put on Christ and the full armor of God by faith. And then you put on the new man. So you put to death in Christ by repentance and giving your life to Jesus. You put off the old way of living by choosing now to keep focused on Christ. And then you put on the new man. Verse number 10, Colossians chapter 3. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. So now I put on the new man, who is renewed in my understanding and my knowledge, because now Christ, I can think Christ thoughts. I can see the Word, read the Word, absorb the Word into my life. I can live the Word out through Christ, because now I've put on the new man, which is in the image of Him, renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. I put on the new man that is fashioned now in Christ, the way we were intended to live. I choose to allow Him now to become my way of living. His Word to become my guide. His Word to become my truth. His thoughts to become what navigate and what captivate my mind, not the things of this world. Okay? So that's something that's important. And then he goes on and he says, and I'll read a couple more, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. See, these are things we put on. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. So those are what we put on. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So now we're putting on, but we have to choose to put off the old nature and look to Jesus. We have to kill off the old man by submitting our life now to Christ, to where we die to flesh and we are alive in Christ. We put off the old ways, the old thoughts. We don't live through those filters anymore. And we put on the new man. And now these concepts are our way of living. The fruit of the Spirit now becomes our desire and our strive towards. Forgiveness becomes the way we operate. So if someone has done something to me, I forgive them the same way Christ forgave me. Now, when we talk about forgiveness, that's hard for people. Forgiveness does not mean that you tell that person it was okay what they did. Forgiveness does not mean you have to ever have a relationship with that person again. But forgiveness means you have freed yourself from being tied to that old nature so that you can be alive and put on the new man in Christ. You forgive what was done to that person, that old man, and you live in Christ. You walk in Christ and you move forward in Christ. And so I want you to hear that. And then the last thing about spiritual life. So the spiritual life involves putting to death the carnal nature. And you only do that through the cross of Christ and the blood of Christ and submitting that old man in repentance. You put off now the old nature, the old way of acting, the old way of talking, the old way of thinking. You got to make a choice to choose the way of Christ now, but you got to put off the old. You got to put on now this new man. So you got to be determined that faith is in Christ and nothing else. So you put on the new man. You desire these new things. And then, verses 15 through 17, you let Christ rule and reign within you, and you let Christ live through you. Verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." So you let the peace of God rule in your heart. So now you have to choose to let Christ rule in your heart. Not your flesh, not your own thoughts, not the world. Christ, you let Christ rule your situations. You let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. So you let Christ reign within you. And then you let Christ live through you. And whatever you do, I'll go on down, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So you let Christ rule in your life, you let Christ reign within your whole life, and you let Christ live through you. It's putting on the new. That's your spiritual responsibility. It's all about what Christ did. But these are the actions that you submit to Christ. Die to the old man. I put off that old nature now. I put on the new man, fashioned in the image of Christ as intended. And I choose and allow Christ now full reign, full rule, and full life process through me. That's our spiritual purpose now. If you miss this, you're never going to live that effective Christian life. And it's not by your works. It's all by faith in Christ. It's by choosing faith over filters. It's by choosing the word over your desire. It's by choosing the way of Christ over the way that you used to live. This is your spiritual life. Now, then Paul begins to talk about your family life. Because now if we're going to live through faith and not filters, that's going to affect our spiritual life. But then that's also going to affect our family life. Okay, go with me if you will to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, "Wives." Now he's talking about family. Now he's in the context of husband and wife, children. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Okay? Now let's look real quickly at the New Living Translation. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to those who belong to the Lord. Remember, he's telling us, as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly, the New Living translates it. Children, always obey your parents because that's pleasing. Fathers, do not aggravate your children or they will become discouraged. This is talking about family life. And in the context of faith, we need to understand what this really means. Now I know I lost probably half of you when I read the word submit. When you heard the word wives, submit, I know that you know, probably you might not have heard anything else I said after that because that just riled up within you. And so let's talk about that for just a moment. Because what that word literally means is to line up under. To line up under, to submit in a military way. So it suggests a voluntary relinquishment of one's rights to another. In non-military use, it was a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. See, we get all out of sorts over things because we have misused and we have looked at God's word through filters of flesh and filters of religion and filters of philosophies of men rather than the truth of God's word. And God has order in his kingdom. And the husband and wife and children, the family unit, is a picture. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that. It is a picture of Christ and the church. The husband and wife is a picture of Christ and the church. Okay? And so the first thing he deals with is that word of submit. Or subject. And so, wives, what he's saying, he's not talking about you just mindlessly following along, having no opinion, having no value, having no worth. I know for too long, too many, especially husbands, like to treat things that way, but that is not what Scripture teaches. In fact, we are one. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, if you go read it in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, it talks about mutual submission of the husband and wife, the man and woman. There's a mutual submission together because we need to be cooperating and we need to assume proper responsibilities and we need to carry burdens that God has intended for us and we need to learn to cooperate together. And wives, if your husband loves the Lord and is living this spiritual life and is living in faith in Christ, then it becomes very easy to cooperate and walk with and assume your responsibility in the process if he is. So husbands, before you start lording this over your wife, it's like the scripture said this, and so you got to do what I say, no matter how foolish what I say is. That's a flesh filter. Rather, you have to start living up to the responsibility to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Not berating, not belittling, not putting your will above everybody else, not you make all the decisions and nobody else. You start living your life the proper way in Christ, and then your desires towards your wife and your family will be the right desires, and you'll find harmony and you will find peace. So this is important. So husbands, you are driven in the authority that God has given you as the head of the household. And that, again, that's God's authority because it's God's picture. And to protect and to guide and to lead and to stand in your responsibilities. But you have to first of all not be living through filters, but be living by faith in order to make this work. So husbands, if you're listening to me tonight, get the filters out of your life. Get your faith in Christ. Then you can expect your family life to become what God wants it to become. And wives, don't be driven so much by the unwillingness of the word submission that you end up living in anger and living in rebellion just for rebellion's sake. I'm not going to submit. That's a filter of the world. That's a filter of the flesh. This is talking to believing families, families that are Christ followers. So therefore, we are living in this mutually together, respecting one another, honoring one another, being the picture that God wants for Christ and the church to be portrayed in the world that we are living in. And we each have our roles. We each have our burdens that we need to take part in. We need to supplement one another, stand with one another, encourage one another, be unified together, love one another. And by doing so, we are honoring God, walking in our places, honoring God so that God can bring peace into our lives. This is your family life. So spiritual life and then the family life. And then he talks about children. Obey your parents. Follow them for blessing because God is pleased with that. Okay? It's the only commandment with promise of long life. Obey your parents. And fathers, in particular, he says, fathers, don't agitate and aggravate your children or you will discourage them. Love them. Discipline. Strengthen them. Be like a bowman with an arrow. That's what the scripture says. Children are like arrows in our quiver. And you make sure they're straight and you pull them back. The tension is right. And when it's time to let go, you let go. And that arrow goes true to its mark. We must have a family life that is by faith and not by the filters of this world. And then he deals with the work life, with our work life. He says now in verse number 22, and bond servants. Now let me start this process by clarifying a little bit. The Bible stays fairly silent when he's talking about this. He's talking about bond servants and masters. And this is not a giving credence to slavery or anything like that. This is in a context, the biblical context. We can't take it out of the biblical context. It is what it is in the biblical context. The Bible stays relatively silent in those areas because he's dealing now on these spiritual levels. And we all know slavery is a horrendous act. Anytime we think we can own another human being, that is straight from the pit of hell and it should be abolished at every turn, whether it's by race, skin color, whether it's by financial ability, whether it's sexual slavery, it all should be thrown back into the pit of hell where it came from. And that is not what he's not giving credence to the idea there. He's using this in the concept of the work ethic. And he says, bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So when you are working, you work with all that is in you. You treat your boss with respect. Whether they do treat you with respect or not, you do all you can because you're working for the Lord, not for that person. Your reward is in Christ, not in this world. So you know, again, you have to choose the filter you're going to live by. You're going to live in the flesh filter, the religious system filter, the world philosophy filter. You're going to live by faith and truth in Christ. And if you're going to live by faith in Christ, then you do your job to the best of your ability. You work hard. You give yourself all that you can, knowing that you are being pleasing to God. You're not trying to tear down your boss or other workers. You are working with the work ethic that God has intended as believers, because we are dealing with our witness to the world. So whether bond or free, so whether you're bound to that job or you're just free to do anything you want. And he also talks about masters or bosses. Give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So if you are in authority over others, you need to be just and fair in how you treat others, because that's how you're going to be judged by God, who is your master in heaven. So that deals with our work life, okay? But he's not finished yet, because then he also talks about our private life. You got to choose faith over filters in your private life. In chapter 4 and verse number 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, and praying for us also that God would open to us a door for the word. So in our private life, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant, watching with thanksgiving. Be alert and with a thankful heart in your prayer time with the Lord in your private time. We should be spiritual people in private, just as we portray ourselves in public. So be prayerful. Your private life must be a prayerful, alert, thankful life. Okay? And then the last thing that he deals with us about is our social life. Now we got to choose faith in our social life with the world over the filters that the world tries to bring in. In verses 5 and 6, he says, walk in chapter 4, Colossians 4, 5 and 6, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So now we choose faith in our public life, in our social life. We choose faith over the filters of the world. So we need to walk in wisdom when we're walking in the world. We need to redeem every moment, for time is short. So we need to be looking for opportunities. We need to let our speech always be with grace and seasoned with salt. Salt is a preservative. Salt brings taste. We need to let our speech be a preserving, tasteful way of speaking. That's the way of faith. And then we would know how we should answer each person. So running around, out in public, in our social life, social media, out there portraying everything but being a Christian. The way we talk, the way we treat others, the things we discuss, the neglect of the times that we are living in, the treating other people poorly, looking down on other people. All of those are filters of this world. We need to be people of faith, publicly, socially, in the way we talk, in the way we act, in the way we walk, in the way we think, and in the way we approach people. So this is how you live in faith over filters. So understand, filters of the humanistic mindset of man, the philosophy filter, is real. The legalistic filter of religion tries to get us to be proud of our religious activity. The flesh filter of the carnal nature, all of those will lead us away from Christ. But as a believer, we must choose faith, looking to Jesus, setting our eyes on things above. And we must do that in our spiritual life, in our family life, in our work life, in our private life, and in our social public life. Choose faith over filters. choose Christ over the ways of the world. Let Christ live in you. Let Christ live through you. I hope you've heard this. I hope you will apply it into your life. And I hope that all of us will choose to live by faith and not through filters. Amen. Amen.